Well, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Leviticus. And yes, I said Leviticus. Book of Leviticus, chapter 1. If you remember, I mentioned before, I've been really getting a lot out of the book of Leviticus, which is usually a book people skip, you know. But I've been reading it personally in my own time. I'm still in it. We did a study of the Hebrew laws, and we're still in it. And on Wednesday nights, and just, it's been really rich. And I felt like God wanted me to do a series out of the book of Leviticus, of all books, here Sunday morning. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, no, Leviticus, that's all this, you know, take the bird and twist its head off and pour the blood all over the altar. And I'm thinking, no, you know, I don't know about that. So I thought, well, I'll get the book right next to it, the book of Numbers. And so I did a couple teachings out of the book of Numbers. But the Holy Spirit said, I told you Leviticus. And so we're going to be in Leviticus. Now, before we get into it, there is this story about this elderly husband and wife, and they suddenly died. They're very healthy people, but they suddenly died in a car crash. And like I said, they've been in excellent health for years because the wife was obsessed with regular pushing the both of them for regular exercise and eating health foods and such, and keeping a strict watch on both of their diets. So when St. Peter welcomed them to heaven, they were like checking out the first class facilities, and he was particularly enamored by the beautiful 18-hole golf course there. And there were all kinds of just amazing things, an Olympic-sized swimming pool. But what really caught his eye was the smorgasbord. There's this huge smorgasbord. And St. Peter says, yeah, this and this, but check it out. You already see our smorgasbord. Help yourself. And immediately the wife said, well, which one is the low-fat table? And St. Peter says, there is no low-fat table. You're in heaven. You can eat whatever you want, however much you want. The husband takes his hat, he throws it down on the ground angrily, and St. Peter's like, what's the matter? And the wife was kind of shocked. Is something wrong? And he turns to his wife, the man, and says, if it hadn't been for your darned bran muffins and all that yucky health food, we would have been here 20 years earlier. Well, speaking of smorgasbords, that's kind of what this message in this series is going to be like. As a Bible school teacher, where I taught many years in Bible school, I would teach my students who were preach a one-point sermon. Always just have, and just reinforce it. What's your one point? Take a text, find the main point, and pound that point. Because people tend to remember one thing better than 3 or 5 or 10. But as I look at Leviticus, it's so rich. There's so much stuff packed in these seemingly irrelevant verses that it's just going to be this massive smorgasbord. Now, there is a theme that runs through Leviticus, and it's the theme, be holy. That phrase occurs 20 times in the book of Leviticus. 20 times it says, be holy. And 5 of those times it says, why be holy? It says, be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. So 5 times said, be holy, for I am holy. So that's a theme that goes through the whole book of Leviticus. And we get into the laws and the meaning behind them and all the rituals and all the meaning behind them. That's really the main point. But today I'm doing a little play on words. I'm going to title this message, Be Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. Be holy. Okay. So let's begin and let's look at the first verse, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it as of his own, or of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. And let's stop there for a moment. If you have your Bibles or your phones or whatever you use for your Bible, put it in your hand right now, lift it up, and say this with me out loud. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. Come on, say it. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And today my mind is alert. I'm ready to receive the word. And I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. And help Pastor Joe keep it real simple. Amen. Lord, we do ask you, bless the word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go to the first item on the smorgasbord table. And it's verse 1. It says, now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting. The Lord spoke to Moses. This is what God wants to tell you. He still speaks to people. God speaks to people. God spoke to Moses. He speaks to man. You can hear the voice of the Lord. You can hear him. Now, it might not be an audible voice, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit. But there's a story I was thinking of, another story where God spoke to somebody, and it was Samuel. Samuel was the son of a woman, Hannah, who was unable to have children, and she went to the temple and cried out to God to be able to have children. And Eli the priest saw this, and the Lord spoke through him to her and said, you will have what you have asked of the Lord. And as a result, Samuel was born not the first prophet, but of the era of the prophets, the first great prophet in Israel. And in the story about Samuel, he's now a child, and Hannah has given him to Eli because this was a gift from God, and this miracle that this child was born in answer to her prayer, she gave her son to the priesthood and to Samuel. And at this point, Samuel is a little boy, and he's living in the temple with Eli and his family, the priestly family. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he, Samuel, answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And Eli said, I did not call, lie down again. And he went and he laid down, and this happened again. The Lord called to Samuel, and Samuel said, here I am. And he ran to Eli, I'm here, here I am. Eli said, I didn't call you. And when it happened again, Eli got it, and he said, ah, the Lord is speaking to you. So next time he calls to you, say, here I am to the Lord. And he did, and the Lord spoke to Samuel. I believe it was an audible voice. Now, I've only heard the audible voice of God twice in my life, and I have heard it. And it's, those are stories I've told them here at times past, and I won't go into it now. But most of the time, God speaks to me in different ways, and God will speak to you in different ways. You're generally not going to have audible voices. That's a pretty rare thing. But you will hear from God. God wants to speak to each and every one of us. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, it says in 1 Samuel 3. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. But not in our day. In our day, the word of the Lord is not rare. Ever since Jesus, the word of the Lord has not been rare, because Jesus said in John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep know my voice. They hear. Jesus speaks to us, his sheep, and we are to know his voice. Now, you might say, well, I don't know how to hear God's voice. I don't know. I don't know if it's me or if it's the devil or if what is. I don't know if this is the voice of God. And see, that's what happened to little Samuel. Samuel heard the voice of God, but he thought it was someone else. That's what happens to us a lot of times. We hear the voice of the Lord, but we think it's someone else. A lot of times we think it's the devil. I remember when I finished our building or got our building project approved by city council in Ann Arbor. We had gone into $1 million expansion and we made the designs and everything, and our neighborhood rejected it and our neighborhood fought it and they did not want us to expand. And we went through a year of battles, and finally the Lord kind of led me to get the main instigator who was against us and have a one-on-one meeting with him and said, listen, I give up, man. You tell me what we need to expand. You don't want your neighborhood changed, but we really need to expand. What would you like us to do? How can I expand our church that'll make you happy? All of a sudden, like these lights went on. He said, oh, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to do that. And to make a long story short, he changed his mind right there, told all the neighborhood, had a meeting and said, they're okay. Let them do what they want. And the city council approved our building expansion. So I'm leaving city council meeting. I am ecstatic. It's a sunny day and evening in June in Ann Arbor. The birds are chirping. The skies are blue. The wind, the breeze is blowing. I'm driving with my windows open in downtown Ann Arbor. I'm getting my corner office. We're going to have our gym in our church. All the things, all my dreams are going to come to pass. And then I hear this little, still, small voice in my heart and said, thank you very much. You're done. Like, I rebuke you, devil. What do you mean I'm done? I've been working on this for years. This is my dream. We built this church up and all. You're done. Thank you very much. You did what I wanted you to do. Get this approved. And it was the Lord. I didn't recognize it. I thought it was the devil, but it was the Lord. And subsequently, went into one of the greatest adventures of my life when I became a quote unquote traveling evangelist. 3 years of incredible ministry around the country and even around the world. But we hear the voice of the Lord and we don't recognize it. We think it's someone else. This is how you recognize the voice of the Lord. Read this. Read it daily. Make a habit of it. Every morning, my wife, first thing, I mean, she goes, well, I admit she has coffee first, then the Bible. So she gets the coffee going first, but then she... Every morning, she's so good, she's better than Pastor Joe on that. But if we read the Bible, we will begin to see how God works, how he speaks, and we'll recognize his voice. Just like I always say, when you pick up the phone and you're not looking at, it tells you who's calling, and you don't look at it, but you can recognize the voice because you've talked to that person so much. So revelation is abundant in these last days. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, and it shall come to pass in the last days, and we are in the last days. We are laster than ever. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. How much flesh? All flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And like I always say, I actually get visions more, so I'm still a young man. Hallelujah. So your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So in other words, he's saying, everybody, young, old, male, female, I, in the last days, will pour out my spirit on all of them, and they shall prophesy, which means they're being spokespeople for God, which means they must be able to hear God, right? And so everybody, in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit. And this includes women. Why the Assemblies of God is always, as a Holy Spirit-filled movement, believed in women in ministry, because it says here, on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. So everybody, now I want you to notice this. Remember, Samuel heard the audible voice of God. Samuel was a boy. Friends, our kids can hear the voice of God. Don't sell your kids short and think just they're little kids, they're dumb, you know, they don't just do games in church and play games and crafts. And no, they can hear from God. Little kids can hear from God. We need to understand that. And parents, foster that in your children. Foster for them to be able to hear from God. You could even ask them someday and say, you know what? Did God say anything to you? Did God speak to you? Get them in the habit of reading a Bible and say, what is God saying to you? You'll be shocked at the level of spiritual depth that your kids have. And so here's another way God will speak. I kind of gave you some examples, but let me tell you a little bit more about the process. And I'm spending a little bit more time on this point than the others. And I want to also announce something through this. So last Sunday, was it last Sunday or two Sundays ago? Cindy Williams. It's been a whirlwind week. So Cindy Williams was speaking at Zion, and good friend, very prophetic, known her for 20, 30 years. And it was a great message. It was a powerful message. I got notes. She really has heard from the Lord about our community. But I spent about 5 minutes with her husband, Eric, who we have known each other about 10 years. And in my little conversation with Eric, I got more in that conversation than I got from a lot of things. I mean, it was just like the word of the Lord to me. And we were just having a talk. And we're talking about what he's doing. And he is now part of a new church plant in the Metro Detroit area that's very house church focused, cell groups. And so there are some real good friends of mine that are starting this church. And they're focusing on homes, building the churches through, in and through homes, home groups, cell groups. And he's the head of that for that church. And as he was telling me about what he's doing, because I asked, I said, what are you doing these days, Eric? What's up? And he was sharing this whole vision about groups. And I started sharing some things that I had read recently about house, home groups and cell groups. And anyway, it was very stirring, very exciting. Later that week, I'm having my personal prayer time. And I decided to take a few hours out that day. And I'm going to go take a drive up to my land and go to the lake and just hang out, read the Bible, talk to God. And I really cried out to God. I said, Lord, there's something missing. Great things have happened. It's been 3 years now at our church, but something is missing. I can't quite put my finger on it. God, I need you to speak to me. I need you to tell me, what are some of the next steps we need to take as a church? I feel like we've gone so far and there's something still there. And then I talked to him and genuinely just shared some questions I had. I said, God, I don't understand this. Everybody prophesies over me and says, you're a leader of leaders. You're a pastor of pastors. You're a father. And they prophesy this over me. And that Chi Alpha position that I was itinerating and raising funds for when I first came here was that kind of position, because I would become pastor of Chi Alpha pastors in the Metro Detroit area. I would be a leader of leaders and stuff. But that wasn't it. That was not it. And I said, God, why do you keep sending me to churches? Because I'm not so much a pastor of sheep. I mean, I have some pastoral gifts, but I'm not a pastor of sheep. I'm a pastor of pastors. Pastors are always looking for direction. They want to talk to me. They want to sit down and have fellowship, and they're asking me to mentor them and things like that. And I don't understand this, Lord. And so that was it. I shared that with the Lord. Why am I always so passionate about the local church and I want to be a pastor of a church, but I'm supposed to be a pastor of pastors? A few days later, I'm preparing for our Sunday school lesson, and we had done all our video Bible classes, 5 trimesters, International School of Ministry. There are only a few that we had not done yet here, and one of them was cell group leadership. Now, I had no intention of starting cell groups in this church, but I did want to raise up lay pastors, people who would be lay people, just you guys, but learn how to become pastors, how to be leaders, and as lay people, helping other people. And so I said, well, I thought, you know, I'll do this class, this video class. And I told them the first class, I said, listen, this is not about cell groups or having cell groups, but it's more about just training you guys how to be leaders, because there are leadership principles here. How to lead a cell group? Well, this is a leadership principle, how to deal with people, et cetera. So we're going to go through this class, not for cell group training, but just to help you in your leadership skills. Well, now I'm on the second session and I'm preparing for it. And as clear as I could, it just, everything came together. A leader of leaders in the local church. I'm supposed to raise up cell group leaders and cell groups. And it was, everything came together. I call it a prophetic swirl when all these different things come in. When I'm sharing this, two reasons, to announce that in the next 2 years, we're going to be developing cell groups and raising up and training people to be cell group leaders. I believe it's the key and the secret to reaching Port Huron, Yale, all these communities all around here, reaching youth, children, etc. So, but I'm sharing that for that reason and also how I hear from God. I don't know if you saw the process there, but I heard in a conversation, there was a fire in my heart. I prayed to God, very specific prayers. Then I'm doing a study and I'm listening to this teaching and a fire and the prayer. This is the answer to your prayer. Are you with me? That's how you hear God. There are different ways. Sometimes it could be an audible voice. Sometimes it could be a prophetic word. Somebody prophesies over you and tells you things. Now, I never take a prophetic word. Somebody says, the Lord told me, George, that this and this and this is going to happen. Well, I don't take that verbatim, like, okay. But I do what Mary did when the shepherds came and told her what they had learned about her new son. And it says she treasured those things in her heart. So I take a prophetic word. I treasure it in my heart. I store it there. And then when somebody else says the same thing, totally different from this person, say, oh, two or three witnesses, everything is confirmed. And then a third person says the same thing about me. Okay, I get it, God. You're speaking to me. So that's another way we hear from the Lord, through prophetic utterances. I got to tell you this story since you're here, Lauren. So one day, I'm having my prayer time. I'm real with God. I don't, you know, play. I don't do, oh God, I vouchsafe unto thee. Oh, which prayer should I read today? I will read Psalm 23. Oh God. Now I'm like real with God. I'm like, I come to God one morning. I'm like, God, you keep telling me through all these prophets to write books. Nobody buys books anymore. All the bookstores are closing down. I don't want to write a book. It's a waste of time. Nothing's going to happen. Beep, beep. Pick up my phone. Message. Oh, it's Lauren, my niece. I don't know why I'm saying this, Uncle Joe. This might be really weird, but I feel like God is saying you need to write your books. I called her. I said, "What, Lauren, what was that?" She goes, "I don't know. Was that weird? Am I being weird? I just felt like I had to tell you that." Wow. God speaks today. Amen? All right, let's move on. I won't be as long on these other points here. But verse 2 says, speak to the children of Israel. Let's go to the next item on the buffet table here. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. There's something about approaching God. You should always come with an offering. Always. Always come to God with an offering. And I'm not just talking about a money offering, although that's a good offering. But I'm not just talking about like the money offering in church. It can be that, and that can be very significant. And that's why I love what we're doing now, how we're doing the treasure chest And we do it at the beginning of worship, because before we go any farther with God, as we approach God, we come with an offering. Amen? But that's not the only kind of offering. You know, in the Old Testament, and from Genesis to Revelation, when people approached God, they always came with an offering. And here in the book of Leviticus, we see that he's talking about bulls and offering up a sacrifice of an animal. We don't do that anymore. We don't sacrifice animals to God. That's not an offering to God, because Hebrews 9:12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he, Jesus, entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Jesus' sacrifice as the perfect Lamb of God was the last blood sacrifice. Amen. His blood finished the work. It's done. We've been forgiven of our sins. Amen. So we don't offer animals, but there are things, other things we can offer, finances. But Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, watch this. It says, therefore by him, Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. That's a sacrifice. That's an offering that we can come to. Do you want to approach God? Offer up to him some praise. Say things to him. Praise him for something. Thank him about something. The fruit of lips. Do it out loud. And then the next verse says this, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So another good sacrifice is to do good for someone, or to share. That's something that we can offer up as a sacrifice unto God, sharing. Let's go to the next item on the buffet. So number one, God speaks to people. God still speaks to people. Always come to God with an offering. The next item on the smorgasbord here, verse 3, if his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Now, there's about 26 sermons right in that little verse, but I'm going to focus on one phrase. Let him offer a male without blemish. Without blemish. I want to focus on that for a moment. This is, of course, a foreshadowing of Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, the sinless Lamb of God. The Jewish people, as they were offering these perfect animals, the best of the animals, it was symbolically pointing to Messiah, who would one day come and offer himself as a sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God. But this says something else. Okay, church, can we just stop giving God our second best? Can we stop with giving God the leftovers? God deserves the best, without blemish. He deserves sacrifices that are worthy of him. Amen? In the book of Malachi, later, Leviticus is giving these instructions to the Levites. That's where the name Leviticus comes from. The Levites were the priests, the tribe of priests. And now centuries have passed, and Malachi is a prophet. But it says this in chapter 1, verse 6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the Father, capital F, God speaking, where is my honor? And if I am a master, capital M, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Whoa. So what was happening, they're supposed to offer perfect lambs, perfect animals, but they're looking, the priests, by this time, they're like, what a waste. I mean, we're just going to kill it and burn it on the fire, and it's just going to burn up. And this is a perfectly good bull or perfectly good lamb. That's such a waste. You're never wasting things when you offer them to God. But they didn't get it. So they're like, oh, there's a lame sheep over there. Let's offer that one. And so they bring that to the temple and offer it to the sacrifice, because then it's not so wasteful. It was no good anyway. What does that say to God when we give him our second best, when we give him the leftovers? God wants and he deserves the best of everything. He deserves the first of everything, not the leftovers. He wants the first fruits of your income. That's called the tithe. The first, off the top, the first 10% he wants. He wants the first day of your week. This was a prophecy I got several weeks ago here in a service that was a revelation to me. I didn't know this. But why do we worship on Sundays and not on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week? Why do we not worship on the seventh day of the week? The Seventh-day Adventists do, Seventh-day Baptists, they say we're breaking a commandment and all that. No. You know why? Because God wanted the first hours of the first day of the week. He wanted the first hours of the first day of the week. That's how God deserves. Now, I'm not saying you can't have Saturday night worship services or things like that, because technically, in the Jewish calendar, Saturday night or the evening is the beginning of the new day. But he deserves the first, whatever it is, the best of everything. Amen? Okay, now, please don't anybody get offended, and I'm probably going to get in trouble somewhere for this. And I'm not saying anything to anybody specific here. But please, please do not give the church your junk. Okay? If we need, now if it's junk to you and we need it, come on, let me know about it. By the way, someone's giving us their sound system. That we need for our portable concerts and stuff. But don't, so many churches have old pianos and old electronic equipment and old sound systems and old TVs and old carpets and old clothes and we got churches get filled up with junk. And no, one day, let me tell you what happened to me one day. So my VCR was not working, or DVD player was not working the way it should. There was a part of it that wasn't working. So I was ready to give it to the church. And the Holy Spirit says to me, yeah, I thought you were preaching about don't give the church your junk. And I said, Lord, you're right. I got convicted about that. So I said, what do I do, Lord? I do need a new VCR or a new DVD player. He says, do this. Take the church's old one that still works and does what you want it to do. Take the church's old one and buy the church a brand new one. Wow. So I need a new piano. I'll take the church's and buy the church a new one. Amen. So what I'm saying is God deserves the best without blemish. Can we please honor the Lord again in our lives? Can we just give him reverence and learn to give him the best? The offering was to be without blemish. One more thing. And it was to be offered with fire. Every offering was to be offered with fire. The next several verses, Leviticus 1, 4 through 9 says, then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, say burnt, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle his blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. I'm going to explain all this, by the way, in the future. The son of Aaron, the priest, shall put the fire on the altar. That's what I want to focus on. And lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in the order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water. And the priest shall burn all, say all, shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Gina says she loves the book of Leviticus because it reminds her of grilled lamb and how good it smells. A sweet aroma to the Lord. So I'll occasionally get a lamb chop or two and grill them, and she's happy. But what's sweet to the Lord is the burning up of this offering and the complete consuming fire, consuming that offering. And that's what he wants from us. He wants his fire to burn up our offerings. In other words, he wants our all. He wants it all. He wants our best. He wants our all. And that we give him a proper sacrifice. The fire was never to go out in the tabernacle. The fire was always to be burning. There was always to be fire in the presence of the Lord. And we need fire. We need the fire of God in our lives. We need to be burning. That's why the Holy Spirit is often referred to as the fire and manifested himself as fire. Tongues of fire came upon each of the disciples, Acts chapter 2. That's the Holy Spirit. He's fire, and he comes to take our sacrifices and burn it up. Is the all-consuming fire. Amen? And that's why we're singing fire songs. And I told Jessica to set a fire, but the other songs about the fire, she picked because the Holy Spirit has a word for us. He wants to burn. He wants to burn in us. He wants us to offer up our lives to him. And you know what? When we offer our lives to him, it's the best. It's the best. When you lay it all down and you say, God, what do you want me to do? Here's my life. Here it is. Well, guess what? I could never in a billion years come up with my life. My life is the craziest, most incredible adventure that anyone could imagine. Unbelievable. I think about you, Jason. What a life, man. Traveling around the world and experiencing these cultures and investing in people of different cultures. It's just amazing when you lay your life down for God. So that's what I mean by being holy. Be holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy, consumed with God. Worship team, would you guys come on up? The buffet table set before us. The smorgasbord set before us. God speaks to us. We always come to him with an offering. He wants the first and the best of everything. And we're to lay that offering on a burning altar of our hearts. Hallelujah. So as the worship team sings, I want us to just take a few moments and think about these things and say, Lord, what is it that I need to lay down in my life? What is it that I need to lay before you? What's the offering that you're desiring for me? And Lord, most of all, set a fire in my heart. Let my life be an altar upon which the offerings are burnt. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just make that a prayer. Take a few moments just to pray where you're at right now, just where you are. Yes, Lord. Set a fire. Set a fire. Deep in our souls, God. Let the holy fire from heaven come and ignite us. If you can, would you stand, please? If you can, let's all stand. Is there something you need to lay down before the Lord? We call this an altar because a lot of times we come and we just kneel and just say, here it is, God. Here's this, here's that. And if you need to do that today, if you need to come and just kneel down or just stand in the front here and just quietly pray with God and say, God, I'm laying this down. I'm presenting this to you. I'm going to invite you to do that in a little bit. If you want me to pray for you about something, if there's something specific that God is speaking to you from this message today, and you want somebody to pray with you, just come and stand in the front area here. If you don't want anybody bothering you, come kneel or stand up close there up to the steps. But if you would like somebody to pray with you, I'd be glad to pray with you. And depending on if there are more people, I'm sure Pastor Brett would be able to be glad to pray with you. And so let's come. Let's come as we sing this. Hallelujah. Do you need to come and spend, lay something down before the Lord? Or did God speak something to you? Respond. Take that moment. Don't wait for anybody else. If God spoke to you about something, you do it.